Dear Lord, help us to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly day by day. Amen. Please be seated. This image that Jesus paints for us today is a vivid one. We can see him walking down the road, and his disciples are following behind him, and he hears them behind him squabbling over which one of them is the greatest, who is in front of who in line, and who is better than who. And he stops them, and he turns to them, and he holds a child out in front of them, and he forces them to be awakened, to reconsider that God doesn't value things the way their society around them values them. He turns their world upside down on them the way that he does so well, by saying, "The last shall be first, the least shall be the greatest. How you treat the least among you is how you treat me." And this image that we have of Jesus holding up a child before them, that's an image for us as well, right? That's an image reminding us that God doesn't value things the same way society distracts us and teaches us they should be valued. God isn't interested in who is first in line, or who's the biggest or the fastest or the strongest, or in me making sure I got what was owed to me. God values and loves each and every one of us, right down to the poorest little child. So that's our gospel lesson for today, right? Love others as we would have ourselves be loved, and be compassionate for others. We can all go home now. We could just stop there, but we have the opportunity here to dig a little bit deeper into this lesson. We can take advantage of our time here to explore it a little further, because it's important to realize in this image of Jesus holding a child that child didn't mean the same thing to the disciples in their context as children mean to us today. I'm sure no one in this room would probably say that children are worthless. They're a waste of time and are unimportant. They're a waste of resources because you invest in them and they don't really do much of anything. They don't give you anything back in return. But that's largely the way society at the time would have taught the disciples the way they were valued. The infant mortality rate, the child mortality rate was incredibly high. And it took vast resources that you didn't know were going to turn out to be anything valuable to your community. And so children, it was taught that they were takers and not givers. And many societies throughout history didn't even really consider children to be humans, fully humans, until they had reached adulthood, to know if it was worth it. Now, that's obviously not the way you and I in this world value children. We value them very deeply. And we look at children in our lives as people to love and nurture and to protect. And even if it's not our child, we instinctively make sure that they're served and their needs are met even before our own. And we look at using our resources to help them grow and prosper as an investment in the future of our world and as a profound act of love. So this image of Jesus holding up a child doesn't mean the same thing to us that it meant to the disciples. When Jesus was looking at them and saying, this person that society tells you is worthless, invisible, doesn't matter, this person does matter. So the thing we need to ask ourselves is, who would be that image for us today? Who would be that person in our society today that Jesus would be holding up and saying, this worthless, invisible person that society has said doesn't matter, does matter? And there's no shortage of groups. There are plenty of people in our society that the structures of society have made it so that we can pass them by and not pay them any attention, and it doesn't affect our lives at all. They don't need to matter to us. And we could list them off, the homeless, the mentally ill, refugees, people who we've got systems in place to make sure we don't have to worry about them. I will tell you that being homeless very much is like becoming a non-person in this world. I can say that in good confidence because I've been there myself. There was a time in my life when I was about 17 years old that my family had run into some trouble, and I was working to try to help make ends meet, and my mother was working to make ends meet, and it just wasn't enough. And we ended up losing our home. And in a world where so much of our identity gets wrapped up in where we live, not having a home really is like becoming something less than fully human. I remember people passing by and not even looking at us because it made them uncomfortable. It was easier to just not see it. And I remember making eye contact with someone and they would quickly turn away. And it really was like becoming invisible before other people. But we were lucky. We had a friend of a friend of a friend who didn't even really know us, but heard about our situation and brought us in. And she took us in, and I was this 17-year-old kid, and I turned to her just struck by this and said, "Why would you do this for us? You don't know us. We don't need to matter to you." And she looked at me and she said, "I'm a Christian, and I saw you. I couldn't unsee you. And if you were in my position, you would do the same thing." I can't tell you how profoundly that affected me as a 17-year-old. But in a world where the homeless are systematically reduced to nameless, faceless statistics, one person looked past that and saw a human being, and it changed everything. Another group of people that are often reduced to nameless, faceless statistics are those suffering from mental illness. In a society where we have so many structures put into place to make sure that you know, needs are met and that people are just checked off of a list, it's often easy for them to lose their humanity. I remember working at Eastern Michigan University. I had a caseload of hundreds of students, dozens and dozens of students who were suffering from mental illness or mental disabilities, and it was my job to get the names checked off on the list, to identify what needed to be done to fix the problem and get the name off the list. And I remember sitting in my office with one such student and talking to him about who he was, where he came from, what he hoped to be in his life, what he hoped to grow up to do, and he stopped me. And he said, "You're the first person in all this time to talk to me like I'm a person." And that just struck me because he had been passed from school system to school system, from juvenile detentions and hospitals. And in all that time, nobody had stopped to him and talked to him like he was a human being. He wasn't even interested in how I could fix his problems for him. All he wanted was somebody to talk to him like he was a human being. And I'll tell you, from that point forward, all the names on my list, I started treating them pretty differently from that point because I started looking at all those names on that list as humans. Just last week, Father Chuck was talking to us about the Syrian refugee crisis. And this week it was reported in the news that fully half the nation of Syria has now been displaced from their homes. That one out of two Syrians have lost their homes, have lost their possessions, but also are in very real risk of becoming non-people in our world. As nation after nation turns them away and says, "It's too inconvenient for us. You're too much of a burden. You're not worth the trouble it would be." And so they run the very real risk of not just losing their homes and possessions, but becoming invisible in our world. These are the kinds of people that when we look at them, how would it change our perspective if we saw Jesus holding a homeless person in his arms in this story? Or in this story, if Jesus was holding someone who was suffering from a mental illness or a Syrian refugee and looking at you and me and saying, however you welcome this person is how you welcome me. The person that society has said doesn't need to matter to you matters. Now, I realize I run the very real risk here of this coming across as Stephen Bonnke's anti-child sermon, because I don't want to dismiss the image of Jesus holding the child. That's really important, because that's part of the point. We do that. We see the children in our lives. We changed our world. We don't value them the way that they used to be valued, because we see them for the human beings they are, the important human beings. And here at St. Paul's, we've demonstrated time and time again that when we see someone in need, we have the power and the energy to roll up our sleeves and get to work, and we make a difference in their lives, and we change the world around us every day. We should be proud of the work that we're doing here, supporting our school at St. Paul's and over at Indian Spring Middle School and in Meals on Wheels and in so many other things where we've demonstrated that as good and faithful Christians, we believe that we can be generous with our love and our spirit and our time and our resources, and we go to work. We have great power here, and I think it's because of that great power that we have all the more responsibility to be the ones who look out and say, who's not getting noticed? Who's not getting noticed in our world? Not because we don't care, not because we don't love or we're bad people, but because we live in a society that has taught us they don't need to matter. We have the ability to look past that and see who is getting missed. And we want to be those disciples who are walking down the path, following Jesus. We want Jesus to be the one who turns around and looks at us and confronts us with who we're missing. All the time, we have demonstrated that we're good and faithful people, and we have the power to see something that needs to be done, to check it off the list, and to go and make people's lives better. But in a more fundamental level, you and I, we need to be in the business of rehumanizing the dehumanized. We need to be in the business of looking at the people who society has made invisible and to say, you're not invisible to us. We see you for the human being that you are, for the beloved child of God that you are. And if we're doing that on a more fundamental level, in addition to the wonderful work we're doing with our hands and our feet and our resources, then we really are being those disciples who are walking the road behind Jesus, looking to see when he turns around and faces us, holding a child of God, and asking ourselves every day, who is that child of God that Jesus is holding in his arms today? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.